Thanks for checking out the Awaken Church podcast. Awaken Church messages are brought to you by our generous givers and partners. You can always learn more about the vision or give financially to support the work God is doing here at Awaken by visiting our website, awakenchurch.cc. If you can't make one of our weekly worship services, you can always watch online by going to our website and clicking on the Watch tab. And now, wherever you're joining us from, thanks for listening, and we hope this message encourages you.
For the announcement of Christmas, God, we thank you for the hope that comes only from the message of the gospel, that you loved us so much that you sent your son. And this year, God, as we approach this season, just pray that our minds and our hearts would be set on that reality, that you stop short of nothing to establish a relationship with us. And so, God, we just thank you. We love you. We're here this morning to praise you. And God, I just pray over the next couple of moments as we look at the Christmas story, the way that you wanted us to see it, that we would be shaped and we would be changed to become more like Jesus. It's in his name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen, church. Go ahead and grab your seats. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up to Luke chapter 1. And man, it's Christmas time. How many of y'all are excited about that? Yeah, hey, if the church decorated before you did, you need to step it up. You know what I'm saying? I was talking to a church member yesterday. I was shopping in Home Goods. Not normal for me, but I was in line, and I ran into a really faithful church member here, and I was asking a question. I said, what are you guys doing for the holidays? Do y'all stick around, or do you travel? You have family here, or do you travel? And she said, well, yeah, we have family here, but that's why we travel. And I got a little more of the story, and so much drama and dysfunction. It's like, look, we just found it best to grab our kids and get away and celebrate Christmas somewhere else. And it set the stage, honestly, perfectly for the Christmas series that we're launching into today, a four-week series that I decided to call It's Kinda Complicated. It's kind of complicated. If I were to ask you, hey, are you excited for Christmas? You might say, yeah, I'm very excited for Christmas. If I were to ask you, are you excited for your family gathering? You might go, well, that's a little different. Or if I were to ask you, you know, maybe there's somebody that you got to see this Christmas you don't really want to. Maybe there's somebody that you want to see this Christmas that you can't because they're no longer here. I learned a long time ago that holidays like Christmas and Easter, they're magnifiers. And so whatever's good in life, it tends to magnify what's good. Whatever's difficult or hard, it tends to magnify what's hard. And so what I want to do is this series is not necessarily going to be a clean-cut, polished, explaining the Christmas story, maybe the way that you saw growing up. We're going to look at more of the intricacies of the story, some of the difficult dynamics of the story that sometimes get missed because we all like a pretty manger scene instead. So Luke chapter 1, I'm going to reference it in just a second, but how many of you guys growing up had a nativity scene anywhere in your house, like a manger scene? Just show of hands. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Even people that didn't grow up in a necessarily Christian household, this is like a piece of decor for Christmas. And I remember one of my fondest memories of Christmas growing up was going to a live nativity scene. Anybody been to a live nativity scene, like a live drive-thru? Pretty phenomenal. We went to one over in Somerville, and it was interesting because, number one, it's just interesting because you got humans that are like donkeys, and it's just weird angels on top of this manger. But I remember like my earliest memories of what the nativity scene looked like, and it shaped my idea of the Christmas story. I remember seeing like a perfectly built A-frame structure. Inside there were like sheep, real sheep. I guess they couldn't get real donkeys or mules or whatever, so those were humans. That was just weird. Mary and Joseph were always like a Caucasian couple when they had this little baby in a cradle, a manger, that I didn't know if it was real or not, but it looked really cleaned up. You had the wise men who were posted up here, always tall dudes, don't know why. But I remember them being off to the side, and there was just like an angel on top that was glowing. I don't, like a spotlight on her head or whatever. And I remember thinking, like, that's it. Like, that's the story that we read about in Luke chapter 2. It's the one that we read about on Christmas Eve as a family. And it shaped, like, my understanding of the gospel, of God, of Christianity, that it was this, like, perfectly planned, clean, polished, and that I somehow fit into that. It wasn't until years later when I got out of college and I went to seminary and I started to like learn the actual story behind the story, right? Like I learned for the first time that Mary and Joseph probably didn't look like me, that they were Middle Eastern. And I didn't really know a lot of people that looked like them. It was when I realized that they were fearful of their lives. They had a king that wanted to kill them. That I realized, I really understood the weight of like, man, Mary was a virgin and the disruption relationally that would have been caused by the announcement that she's pregnant and what that would have done to her and Joseph, who Joseph had decided, I'm just going to leave her quietly. I don't want to disgrace her, but I'll just leave her. Thankfully, an angel changes his mind in the story and they stay together. But I imagine the conversations with his parents that had to be had, or with her parents that had to be had. And then the community relations of like, what does this mean for like her and the community and them and the community? And what I'm getting at is like, sometimes we look at the Christmas story and we're like, oh, that makes perfect sense. But y'all, it was a whole lot more crazy and chaotic and complicated than we might think. And so what I wanna do is dive into that this holiday season. And we're gonna be looking at like relationally the dynamics between Mary and her family and Joseph and the community. That's next week. Then we're going to look at the following week, the importance of having people speak into what God's doing in your life, right? Because we see that all throughout the Christmas story. And then obviously on Christmas Eve, which I hope you're making plans to be here and invite people, we're going to look at the journey really of Jesus from the cradle all the way to him now being crowned King of Kings and what that means for us and the hope that it is. That's the gospel and the good news of Christmas. But today what I want to do is jump in at Luke chapter 1. So if you got your Bibles, let me read a little bit of what's already been read today. Luke chapter 1, verse 34, Mary responds to this angel. And by the way, just some context real quick. Mary would have been about 15 years old. Mary was engaged to Joseph. It was an arranged marriage. And one night she's just chilling at her house and an angel shows up and speaks to her and says, essentially, hey, you're gonna be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. You're gonna have a son. His name's gonna be Jesus. He's gonna be the savior of the world. And Mary's response back in 34 says this. Mary asked the angel, how will this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is gonna have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. By the way, just some context on that. If you know the Gospels, there was a forerunner to Jesus named John the Baptist. John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins. John the Baptist is who Elizabeth was pregnant with. And so Mary gets told, hey, you're gonna have a child, right? Your cousin Elizabeth, she's pregnant too, even though she's old, and she's gonna have a child. He's going to be John the Baptist. You're going to have Jesus. And Mary is hearing all this in her room. And what I want to do for a second is ask you guys to get into the mind and the heart of like a 15-year-old teenage girl. That's frightening in and of itself, okay? And nothing against teenage girls, but I've got a teenage girl who's amazing, my Brinkley. She's 13. But I couldn't imagine, like, and you may have a hard time imagining a 15-year-old girl sitting at home, looking forward to a wedding and getting this kind of message from God. Like the fact an angel is speaking to her, number one, that's enough to freak you out. But two, the news that gets delivered, that's not saying, hey, Mary, what do you think about this? Do you like this plan? This is actually going to happen to you. And I think sometimes we overlook that part of the story because I don't know about you, but when I started to actually learn the Christmas story and learn the characters and learn the timeline and the narrative, there's a part of it that makes you wonder, does God really know what he's doing? Like in the whole scheme of things, like if you could redeem humanity in any way that you want, why in the world would you do it this way? It seems like there would be a cleaner process. It seems like there would be something that would make a lot more sense. And I've started to realize in my life, and maybe you too, that life tends to be that way, doesn't it? Like things happen and we go, man, why did it go like that? Like, why did it have to be that way? Or why did they have to get sick? Or why did they have to pass away? Or why did I have to lose that job? Or why didn't that relationship work out? Or why financially are we in this situation? Or why did they make that decision? Right? Like we find ourselves going like, man, this doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. And honestly, it's in those moments, maybe you can identify where we go, God, are you really paying attention? Like, do you see what I'm going through? Like, are you in touch with the situation? Are you loving? Are you good? God, do you really know what you're doing? And there's a couple things in this story and about Mary that I think we can look at and really glean some hope from, some truths from this story that I think can help shape the way that we approach life, the way that we approach even the holidays. Those of you that got some hard gatherings to go to and some hard situations to navigate, there's some things that Mary does and how she responds that can shape how we should too. And so that's what I want to focus on this morning. And so if you're here and you're taking notes, the first thing that I would encourage you to write down is this. When life seems crazy and chaotic and it seems out of control, the first thing I want to remind you is this. God's in control. Even in an uncontrollable world, God's in control. I don't know the last time that you cut on the news, but, and you know what? You don't even have to cut on the news. Like all you have to do is wake up and think about what's ahead of you this week. Like some of you guys right now are in situations that you know are just uncontrollable. It's like the lady that I talked to yesterday at Home Goods. It's like, look, we just get out of town because all the drama and dysfunction, like that's not really ours. Like we can't do anything about that. And so we leave it, right? And by the way, if you talk to me in public, I'm not gonna necessarily always use you as a sermon illustration. And if I do, I'll leave your name out. But I thought about it like that, that's just so true. Like how many of you, and don't raise your hands, but avoid certain situations just because they're so crazy. It's like, I don't wanna go near it, so I'm just gonna stay away from it. I can't control it, so I'll just back away from it. I think about the anxiety epidemic that is on our country. If I were to ask you right now, do you struggle with anxiety? Hands will fly up everywhere. Why? Anxiety stems from not having control. Like we worry about things because we can't control them. We can't control the outcomes. It's uncontrollable. And that may stem from news that's going on overseas. It may stem from the stock market. It may stem from your workplace. It may stem from your marriage or from your children, right? Like there's uncontrollables in this world. And the encouragement that I find from this story is this. God's in control of it all. The song we sang, Jehovah, Yahweh is what I am means. And a large seminary word, doctrinal word, is the sovereignty of God. What does that mean? That God is in control and over all things. You know how much confidence that should give you today? If not today, you know how much confidence that should give you when you find out you lost your job? Or when you found out that relationship didn't work out? How much confidence it should give you when your kids start to rebel or you start going through difficulties financially or physically or emotionally? God's in control. Like Mary in this story, she finds out that she's gonna be pregnant. And it seems like this massive curveball, which for her it was. But y'all, when we look at scripture, 700 years prior to this announcement, God said it was gonna happen. Like God called the shot. Like if you turn back in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 7, this is what we find in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. God spoke through the prophet Isaiah and he said, therefore the Lord himself is gonna give you a sign. A sign for what? It's a sign of salvation. And then the book of Isaiah, he's saying, look, there's a redeemer that's coming to reclaim God's people to himself. And the sign of that happening is gonna be this. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and she will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. So 7 centuries before Mary gets the news, God says, this is what's gonna happen. And then 700 years later, it actually happens. So God wrote the story back then, but Mary's finding out about it just now. Here's the assurance that gives me. Some of you are finding out things, you're going through things, and you're wondering, why does it seem like God's reactive to my situation? God's not reactive, he's just revealing his plans to you. The story's already been written. Can I say that again? Whatever you're currently going through, God's already written the story. What it means is he's not in this place of like, oh, God, you screwed up. Now I gotta do this. Or he's not in heaven going, man, that one caught me off guard. Now I gotta respond this way. No, the assurance is that God's written the story of our lives. And while we get it revealed to us in live time, the confidence is going, I can trust him because if I'm in his hands and I am his child, he's got good plans in place for me. And that's a lot of confidence that we can have in this life. God has scripted it all out. And I know, listen, I know sometimes when we go through life, it can feel like it's just a mess, right? Like why did that happen with my parents? Why did that happen with my family? Why did that happen with my job or with school or my career or whatever? And it feels like a big mess. But I want to remind every single one of us that confidence comes when we go, you know what? God's taking whatever mess I'm going through. And if I trust him through it, he'll turn this mess into a message that points people to him. Like I think about Mary right here. Y'all, Mary was in a messed up situation. I've oftentimes wondered, what if Mary had TikTok? It's a good question, right? Because sometimes we read it and we're like, that's, you know, that time and place, it's so far. But could you imagine right now if a 15-year-old girl named Mary was living in Charleston and she had a TikTok account and she said, man, God just spoke to me. This is what's gonna happen. The ridicule? Could you imagine the pressure? Could you imagine the judgment? Could you imagine what would happen to her life? Like, could you imagine live time? Like, imagine all the implications of that. The truth is this. The truth is that while it seems crazy, and it is, it's complicated, but even in the complications, we can trust a God who's in control. Second thing I would say is this, that God's calling on your life, and I think Mary would tell us this, God's calling on your life may get complicated at times. See, the interesting part to this story in verse 28, it says, the angel went to Mary and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Can I ask a very simple question about favorites? How many of you, if you have multiple siblings in your family, would say that you're the favorite child? Just put your hand up real quick. Just hold it up really high, really high. Danny, go ahead and put it back up. That's why I think you can come in two songs late to service. I mean, it's just... Yeah, I love Danny. I can do that. Because you're a favorite, right? No, it's like, if you're a favorite kid, right? If you're the favorite sibling, you kind of like get, it's always your way. You get to pick the restaurant. You know, you get your favorite gift. You're treated differently, but in a good way in your family, right? Like, you're the favorite. What about teacher's pet? Any teacher's pet in the house? Just raise your hand. You're the favorite in class. Yeah, go ahead. Just put it up there high. Own that. I'm the favorite, right? You were the line leader, like you got added responsibilities, right? Like you were just treated differently. What about favorite athlete on a team? Kind of, yeah, get special, there you go, good for you, right? You get special treatment on the team. You kind of do what you want, when you want. Hopefully you're leading and you're like modeling what leadership looks like, but my point is in our world, if you're a favorite or you're favored somehow, the implication is it's easier for you. It's better for you, that somehow like there's a red carpet type treatment. What's crazy if you start to read this book is, and just, it'd be an interesting study, go do it on your own. Anywhere you find the word favored attached to a character in scripture, their life gets a lot harder. Yeah. can I submit Noah to you? Genesis chapter 6. Noah found favor with God. You know what Noah got to do? Anybody? He built a boat. He built a huge boat. And he told people, hey, the world's going to flood, even though it never rained before. So, you know, people look at Noah and like, he was crazy. Y'all, he appeared quite crazy until it started raining. But that was the assignment. His assignment was like, now you got to build a boat and you got to start working. and his life got really difficult. How about Moses? Moses found favor. You know what Moses got to do? Moses got to go to the most powerful man on the planet multiple times over and say, set my people free. Finally did. Now he's leading millions of people into the desert. For 40 years, he's wandering through the desert with ignorant, stubborn, stiff-necked people. I'm not a mean preacher. That's what the Bible calls him. And he never even got into the promised land. 40 years. That's what Moses got to do. Now he got to see some incredible things, but y'all, it's a difficult journey. Can I submit David to you? David, who was a shepherd boy that had to go face Goliath, fight Goliath, go through all the trials of what it looked like to become a king. Yeah, it was a great run, but it was a hard life. And then y'all, then we have Mary, or Daniel. What about Daniel? Daniel gets sent into captivity in Babylon, found favor with God, ends up in a lion's den. Now, God rescued him out of that. But my point is this. Favored people following God don't always have an easy life. And Mary here found favor with God. But y'all, the calling on her life wasn't like anything before and anything since. Like, of all the people in all of Scripture, the one I'm most impressed with outside of Jesus is Mary. And you're like, why? Well, you know how hard... You know how hard it had to be for her? Like, she's going to Joseph and explaining what happened. We'll cover more of that next week. She's explaining to her community what happened. Nobody believed her. No one accepted that. Then after she gave birth to him, you know how hard it had been to raise Jesus? I got great kids, but they're not perfect. Could you imagine? She's raising Jesus. And she's like, Jesus, eat your green beans. And he's like, you shouldn't anger. You shouldn't be like, stop sinning, you know? Self-control, mom, you know? I don't know what that looked like, but like, it's hard to raise a perfect kid. Like, he never sinned. She did, you know? I think about when once he actually started his ministry, his public ministry, and he's calling his disciples, and he starts preaching and teaching, and y'all, if you just read the Gospels as they're written and even read between the lines, Jesus was so misunderstood in his context and culture. Could you imagine what she had to deal with as a mom? Loves her son, but she's like, I know, he seems crazy to me too. Like, there's one account where he's like, they're like, look, your mom and your brothers are outside. Can you come talk to him? And Jesus is like, look, my family are those who do the will of God, right? It's like, man, she's torn in her same community. Then Jesus gets arrested, right? The gospel is Jesus gets arrested, crucified for our sins. And as he's hanging on the cross, the Bible says that Mary is there. She's watching her son be killed, even though she knows that he's perfect. And he tells John, look after my mom once I'm gone. And so Jesus dies and he's placed in a tomb. Mary doesn't run away. She stays faithful. In fact, she's gathered with the apostles and the other followers of Jesus on the morning that he rises from the dead. It's what we celebrate as Easter. And she's in the upper room in Acts chapter 1 praying. Waiting on the Holy Spirit to come. Y'all, Mary got to see the birth of the early church movement. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people following this son that she carried who was told he's gonna save his people from their sins. My point is this, even though life got complicated and things got hard, Mary held on to a promise that God spoke to her. It should be encouragement to some of us who are going through some difficult things that God's with you and he has a plan for you even in that. In other words, hey, you might be carrying a family member through a really hard time right now. God knew that you could carry that with him in that situation. So be encouraged by that. Some of you are carrying a trial right now that it's unbearable. Like financially you're carrying a burden or physically you're carrying a burden. You know, God entrusted you to carry that with his help. Be encouraged. Doesn't mean it's easy. It's complicated. But sometimes the calling is hard. Some of you are trying to parent right now. You know, God knew that your kid needed you as a parent? That you would pray for them, that you would encourage them, that you would serve them, forgive them. Keep doing it. Know that God's with you. Like Mary, listen, Mary says in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 38, in response to God's call in her life, she said, I'm the Lord's servant, and may your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. And to me, what's most impressive about Mary is that while the angel left her, God never did, and she stayed close to Jesus and stayed close to Jesus' people all the way to her end of her day. Most scholars believe that John was entrusted to take care of her, and so she would have stayed with John in Jerusalem as the early church launched out. Some scholars believe she actually went with John to help plant another church. My point is this. Even though things got tough and she got misunderstood and things got complicated, she stayed faithful to what God called her to do. And maybe some of you are here today and the word God wants you to hear is just be faithful. Stay and be faithful and trust that he's still with you. And then the third thing I think Mary would say to us, if she could speak to us today, it's this. And that's that the clarity that we want will eventually come. You go, what do you mean by clarity? Clarity is, hey, this doesn't make sense. God makes sense of it. Like, I don't know if you guys can identify with this, but sometimes God will call you into a life or call you to something that people don't understand around you. Like maybe you're in a situation where you're trying to follow Jesus and you're in a relationship where he doesn't understand. Or maybe you're the only Christian in your family. And this holiday season, you're trying to navigate all the stressors of the holidays and you're trying to be a Christian and you're trying to follow Jesus, but the people around you don't get that. They don't support that. And you feel kind of like you're on an island. Maybe you're at work and you've got certain convictions and certain beliefs and or roommates that don't see eye to eye on those things. And you go, man, I feel like I'm alone here. Why is this happening? God makes sense of it. Paul says these words in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. He says, now, like right now, we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we'll see everything with perfect clarity. What's he talking about? Paul says, look, right now in this life, we see things like puzzling reflections in a mirror. The mirror that he's talking about is not the kind of mirror that you looked at this morning. Like in the first century, the mirrors they had were like a polished metal. So I want you to think about like a chrome bumper on a car. Or think about like a hubcap or a rim, right? Like you can see yourself, but like you can't see all the details and all the intricacies. And it would have been that, but even a little worse because we're talking about polished bronze. Paul says, look, you can see something in this mirror. You can see this reflection, but you can't make out all the details. And so you can't see it perfectly. But one day you'll see everything with perfect clarity. What's he talking about? For the believer, one day, like one day when we get to eternity, one day when we get to heaven and we look back, we'll see it all perfectly clear. Paul says, look, all I now know is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. In other words, there's this picture. I when I read that, I think about the Christmas story. I think about Mary once she gets to eternity, right? Because Mary's in heaven. And I think about her looking back at her life and going, man, I didn't understand that. That made no sense to me. But like, God, you knew exactly what you were doing. Like you knew exactly, and it all makes sense now. Like in hindsight, it makes sense. Y'all, we don't get to live life with the foresight of what it's gonna look like looking back. But we can have confidence following a God who has. And what I mean by that is your life is scripted out and God is worthy of your trust. And so maybe you're here today going, look, I can't make sense of my situation. I don't understand it. I wouldn't have written it this way. I wouldn't have scripted it this way. And you may not even like it. But the assurance and the confidence we can have from God is this. He's a good God who's in control and he's worthy of your trust. So maybe today as we launch the Christmas series, just put your trust in God. And that's what he brought you here to hear. Would you pray with me? God, I just thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the reminder today. As we look at Mary's life, God, I thank you that you are trustworthy, that there is not one promise you have ever made that failed. And so God, as we gather here today and we think about our lives and we think about our relationship with you, Lord, for some in the room right now, they would say they're faithfully following you. They're doing their best. And they might be praying and reading your word and worshiping. And God, I pray today they would just continue to be encouraged as they follow you. God, there's others today who are here and it's been a challenge. Maybe life's tough, thrown them some curveballs. There's some things that just seem out of control in their life. God, I pray this morning they would trust you and they would know that you're in charge of everything that's going on and you're not caught off guard by any of it. So God, I just pray they would cling to you this morning. God, there's others here who have never trusted you. They've never put their faith in you. Lord, I pray this morning they would realize that you love them and you want a relationship with them. And Christmas is the announcement that you stop short of nothing to have a relationship with us. So God, this morning, I pray they would just give their life to you. Church, as we continue in a spirit of prayer across the room, if you're here today and you would say, you know what, I don't really have a relationship with God, but today I want to start one. Like today, I actually want to put my faith in God. I want to trust God. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. And so right now in just the quiet of this room, God says all you got to do is just tell him that. And so if you acknowledge the fact that he loves you and you acknowledge the fact that Jesus died for you and you acknowledge the fact that he rose from the dead, the Bible says that you're saved and that today's the day of salvation for you. Look, we're going to move into a time of response in this room. There's a prayer team down front, a prayer team in the back. And maybe you're here and you just need prayer over something in your life. Maybe there's a situation that seems out of control, and maybe it is. But you just need assurance from this prayer team that God's got you and he's got it covered. Can I just invite you to step out, seek prayer this morning? Maybe you're here and you go, look, I've got a relationship that I need prayer for. Maybe it's family, maybe it's spouse, maybe it's kids, maybe it's extended family or friends. And you just want prayer over that specific situation. Would you just step out and seek prayer this morning when we worship? Or maybe you're here and there's something specific that you need prayer for and you want to put it on the cross in the back. When we gather Tuesday for Awaken Prayer Room, we're going to pray over all those requests. So you don't have to put your name on it. You can just put whatever struggle it is, and you can know that Tuesday at 7:30, we're going to be lifting up in this room. Look, whatever response you might have or whatever you need prayer for this morning, let me just encourage you. As we stand in a moment, step out as God leads you and let the prayer team pray for you, pray over you, and just let ministry happen in this room. So let's go ahead and stand on our feet and respond in worship.